And the story of Elijah is obviously very interesting, specifically for me as a minister. And I hope that it has been interesting for you as well, just as a Christian, and seeing your walk and your growth in him. But we found last week, we saw how he began to run after a great victory throughout his walk with God. He begins to run, and then you see that he almost wants to throw in the towel. And then there's something that basically happens where he begins to sit and rationalize things and begins to realize, you know, and see things from a different point again. And so here, as we find him here, God is about to speak to him, God is about to minister to him, and he's about to change things within his life. And I hope that this will appeal to us and apply to us as we continue to walk our walk with him. But we see that the reason that Elijah had trouble, where all his troubles stemmed from, was from the fact that he began to think more highly of himself. He began to think more of himself than what he was of his ministry and of others. And we see that in verse 4 of chapter 19. And there's two scriptures that I want to share with you this morning that hopefully you and I should be very wary of and try to avoid at all costs. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's see what God says there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. See, church, sometimes we think we've arrived. Sometimes we think that things are just going great and nothing can ever mess that up. But God is telling us here that you and I must be mindful, be humble, be so aware of our walk with him. And he says, be careful that you do not fall. Clearly God knows that we will fall. Clearly God knows that we will stumble, that we will struggle within our walk. And he's giving us this warning because he knows that we will stumble. And he's saying, I'm just trying to help you out here to be mindful of your walk. Be aware of who you need to cling to all the time. Go with me now to Romans chapter 12. And let's look at verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So again, you may be learned within the word, you may have been around in the church for the last 50 years. God is saying, irrespective of that, be mindful of your walk. Understand that at any point you can fall. Whether you think you're strong, whether you think that you've arrived, be careful because you can fall. Church, you still with me? And this is the reason that Elijah fell. Because he was no longer focused on God, he was focused more on the circumstances, perhaps what he achieved. And God went out the picture and he began to think silly things within his head. But I'm going to show you this morning, God will show you through his word, how still he loves us, how still he has compassion for us, and how he can restore us once we've fallen. So let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 19 this morning. And let's look at the way in which God ministers to his prophet. Look at verses 5 through 8 now of chapter 19. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Understand that God still continues to provide for him, to sustain him, even though he's fallen, even though he's had this lack of faith, or this break of faith, maybe. God still continues to be compassionate and his grace abounds. And this is how it is within our walk as well. Even when we fall, even when we forget about God, even when we just totally maybe oblivious of what God does for us and how he's working in our life, and we've strayed, there's still the tendency for God He's showering His grace over us because of His great love for us. It doesn't mean that He overlooks sin. Please don't misunderstand me this morning. But all I'm trying to share with you this morning is that we need to understand how important we are to God and how He will constantly do things in order to keep us close to Him. And here we see that Elijah is no different. And God has a plan for him. He's lost sight of this vision and plan. But God has a plan for him, and God is going to still sustain him through His grace and His mercy. And as we look here, there's a consideration that God shares or shows toward us that we need to see. And understand how big God is. Understand how awesome He is. Understand that He does not need us. Church, are you with me? Yet He chooses to extend His mercy toward us. And there's a huge consideration here for us as we look. Look at the rest that He gives Elijah. Church, verses 5 through 6. And then I want you to note the refreshment or the provision that He makes for him. And it's important for us to note. Look at verse 8. So he got up and ate and drank. And then the text says, strengthened by that food. Where did that food come from, church? From God. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Just a quick one here. How many of us could have a meal today and then last for the next 40 days? Church? Let's say you really ate your full, and there's some big guys here, like Sheldon over there. Let's say you've eaten your full. Do you think that that food that you've eaten, however healthy it may be, sustaining it may be, that that could carry you over the next 40 days to walk, to run, to exercise? Do you think that that would be enough for you, church? So it's very clear for us here to see the provision that God makes and the strength and the ability that He gives to us in order to achieve greatness and bring about His glory. Amen? And we as the church must never lose sight of that in our walk with Him. It's Him who sustains us. It's Him who is going to get us over that finish line. And we need to be more mindful of the way God works within our life. Now, why this is so important for us to note is that this mountain that Elijah is going to is the very starting place of where Moses' ministry starts off. This is the place where Moses met God in a burning bush. So it's very significant that God is taking him to the same place to restore him and the ministry that God is going to continue to achieve through Elijah. Church, you with me? And sometimes God will need to bring us back to the starting point within our faith, or back to a starting point in which we can bounce again. Because sometimes we get so far off the track that we really don't even know how to get back to where we ought to get back to. But there's some serious compassion as we look in verses 6 here. He looked around there, and by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals, a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down. This compassion that God extends to us all the time, even in our failures. Church, you with me? Even in our failures, He extends compassion. And look at the grace that He gives us. It's the provision, His presence, His patience. All these are visible here to us this morning. This is the way God extends His grace to us. Church, does God provide for you daily? Church? Is His presence evident to you in your life, church? That is His grace that is extended to us. But we lose sight of it because we sometimes become so narrow-minded. We sometimes become so focused on our reality that we miss out on the bigger picture that God is painting for us. And that is that He will bring about victory within our life if we will not fear but trust in Him each step of the way. Let's look at verses 9 through 14 now. There he went into a cave and spent the night. This is at Mount Horeb, the very place that we said Moses met God in the form of a burning bush. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Church, I just want you to understand something here quickly, and this is just the way I see the text. Who took him to Mount Horeb? Church, are you still with me? So who led him to Mount Horeb? God. Isn't it strange that God asks him, what are you doing here? It's almost a rhetorical question, isn't it? But you see, Elijah's missing the point totally here. So he just answers God, says, God, I've been jealous for you. I've been working for you. I mean, it's a bit of a silly question. What is God trying to get at? He's saying, how did you get from where you were to where you are? Church? And the answer that should have come out of his mouth, God, by your grace. Church, you still with me? By your grace. In fact, God, you have led me here. Where to now? But you see, his carnal nature comes out and he just begins to talk and says, God, I've been zealous for you. Doesn't this remind you so much of the passage in Matthew that Jesus says that people will say, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? God, wasn't I this faithful? Don't you remember? And then God's going to say, what? Who are you? The Israelites have rejected your covenant. Do you see that? He's making himself seem so great. God, I've been zealous for you, but your people have rejected you. He's been that zealous for God, but guess what? He ran after God showed him how awesome God is and brought about victory within the ministry that Elijah led. He says, your covenant was broken. They've broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. Yes, he's just painting this incredible picture of himself, isn't he, church? Isn't that how we can be sometimes within our walk? So self-righteous. God, look at what I've done. Look at God's response. Verse 11. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord is about to pass by. It's as though God almost doesn't acknowledge that at all. Do you see that, church? Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a gentle whisper. Then Elijah heard it, pulled his cloak over his face and went out. It stood at the mouth of the cave. He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Didn't he already tell God that? Now he's repeating himself. Why? Because he thinks God hasn't heard him. And he's right. Because God's been more focused. We're trying to get him to focus on the fact of why he's there. Who brought him there? Where his faith needs to be, and in whom. But his attitude is so self, he's so self-absorbed at this point that he cannot see beyond. And this is why God needed to bring him to this place, away from everything else. Speak to him. And notice, God was not in this big powerful wind or in the earthquake or in any neon sign. But God was in a whisper. And sometimes you and I are looking out for those neon signs and listening out for those loud cries. And the answers are right in front of us. And God is but whispering it to us. But we miss it because we're so focused on what? On the big or the big deal. And God is but in a whisper. Or we begin to focus more and see God in everything and don't overlook things. But just see Him speaking to us through His Word. Amen? And so there's a confrontation here that God brings about, or at least wants us to see. When things are not right, God is going to make it very clear to us that He's not happy with us. He may bring it through a message spoken by somebody. He may bring it through His Word. He may speak it through His Spirit. And here we see that He's speaking to Elijah, but in a whisper. And there's a challenge that God brings to him. And not only a challenge, but there's a command that God is going to reveal to him. And he starts in verse 11 of what he needs to do. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and verse 13 now. Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, what God is saying is each of us have an ability. But in order for us to really live in the way He's intended for us to live, we need to attain the unity. We need to be focused on Him and develop this fullness of Christ through speech, through attitude, through action. And until we reach that point, you and I will never develop to the individual that God needs us to be. Because we're so focused on ourselves and how we're going to get there and what we want to achieve. And not how God is going to work through us in order to achieve greatness and bring about His glory through us. Church, you with me? Very important for us to note this morning. And this is why ministries fall apart. This is why our relationship with God, this is why our walk goes wayward sometimes. It's because we're so self-absorbed on where we want to go and where we want to be and what we want to achieve, as opposed to what God desires and wants. And when we can separate the two and allow God's will to be our will, things begin to change. Let's look at verses 15 through to 21 now. The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all those whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." So Elijah went from here and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plying with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burnt the plying equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. So now we see what God is going to do. He's about to mend, restore this prophet. Not only this prophet, but the legacy that this prophet would leave through a man known as Elisha. But there's a commission that God gives him, isn't it? Just as He does to us. And that is that he needs to go out and do something for God. And we know, as we look at verse 15 through 17, that this speaks so true to us as God's people today. And the only way that He's going to restore us and redefine us is for us to submit to His will and obey the commission that He gives us. And although we paint Matthew 28 as this great commission, within our own lives, God gives us commissions. Are you with me, church? Within our own lives, individual lives, He gives us commissions. Now, we all ought to abide by Matthew 28 because it's every Christian's responsibility or duty to fulfill. But individually, God speaks to us and He gives us commissions. Perhaps to fathers, He says that we must be better husbands and better fathers within the home. And maybe to mothers, He gives that same command. Maybe towards whoever,
whatever it is, your talent is, he's speaking to you and he's saying, use that for my glory.
Church, you with me?
So God commissioned each and every one of us within our own lives and the ministries that we will lead. And although Matthew 28 is obviously what we all follow, let's not lose sight of the individual commissions that God gives us as his people and the ministries we need to fulfill as we continue to live and grow
within his church. Amen? And this is what he calls Elijah to do. But there's a comfort that God gives him, doesn't he? As we look at verse 18. He's saying, you're not alone. Do you see God's grace and mercy? How many of us have often felt at times when we're struggling with things and we're going through a rough patch and we're thinking we're just not connecting with God and we're so far from God and we can't get back and we're all alone? Church, that I'm the only individual that is struggling with this and I wish I could be like that person. What is God saying? He's saying you are never alone. You don't need to go through anything on your own. I've provided a Christian base unit for you. You with me? In which you can go to and be strengthened by. But what don't we do in the church? We don't run to our brethren when we need. We don't. Because of our pride, because we're wondering what they'll think. And God's saying, get over that this morning. And get to your brethren. You need help, they will help you. They will give you the counsel that you need. Church, you still with me? That's the first thing that we need to understand here this morning. And we don't do that enough. But he's also saying that you are not the only individual who struggles with the things that you struggle with.
Hebrews chapter 4, let's go there.
Let's look at verse 15 and 16 now. And let's see exactly how God gets us and sees us and understands us in every single way. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So God gets us. Don't ever say, don't ever think that God does not get you. Verse 16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy, find grace to help us in our time of need. Church, you see this very, very important.
God gets us. He understands you better than you do, better than anyone else does. And he's saying, because I get you, why won't you approach my throne of grace and mercy? Why won't you extend your arms toward me? Grab onto my hands. Allow me to embrace you. Why won't you do that? You've hit rock bottom. You've seen you can't do this on your own. Why do you continue to want to do it your way? Submit, kneel at the altar, and let me shower you with grace so that I can bring about victory within your walk and a confidence within you
that will lead you over that finish line. Church, are you still with me? Let's go back to 1 Kings 19 now. Verses 19 through 21. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. And notice that Elisha was busy with his work and carrying on with his work. What God is going to do is God is going to give him a companion, an individual that will strengthen him. Remember last week we mentioned, we said that God sent the disciples out in twos. We also mentioned the aspect of why God created a woman was because he said it's not good for man to be alone. God did not design us to be solitary beings. You with me? This is why I want to share with you this right now. Is that we cannot worship on our own. Church, you with me? We cannot worship on our own. Because God didn't design it like that. And before you know it, and church, I'm speaking here from experience. Don't believe me, ask my dad, he's sitting there. Years ago, when we were at a church in Randburg, in Johannesburg, the church went through a split, or people started breaking away. And we were one of the last families that were behind. Eventually we went. And every Sunday we'd worship and we'd get together and do what we need to do for God. But it was just the four of us, Dad, Mom, Sister, and myself. And although we love God and worship God, it wasn't the same. Ask Him if you don't believe. It wasn't the same. And although we were devoted to God and we did what we needed to, only when there were one or two other individuals who started worshiping with us, did it begin to feel right. But for me, there was always something that was missing. And when we finally went back and started worshiping with one of the bigger congregations in our areas, for me, in my life, in my world, things began to fall back into place. So understand that God did not design us to worship alone. We worship Him by ourselves, obviously, in our quiet time, etc. But God has not designed it long periods of time where we isolate ourselves from individuals, specifically His church. You will fall, you will get further and further and further away from God. And here He's giving Elijah a companion now, because he gets and he can see that Elijah's not coping on his own. Church, very important point for us to note. But what I want you to note about Elisha and his attitude as he gets commissioned and he begins to see what God is calling him to do, what he does. And I hope that you and I will see this principle and do the same thing. Let's look now at verse 20. Elisha then left his oxen, ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" Verse 21. So Elisha left him, went back. He took his yoke of oxen, slaughtered them. He burnt the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. What is the point that we see here? Very, very crucial point. Is that when God calls us and we submit to His call, there is no going back. Church, are you with me? There is no going back. Look at what He does. He doesn't have a backup plan. His faith is in the commission of God. He goes back and he burns his livelihood. Do you see that, church? He's cutting ties with what was. And his faith and his commitment is in the commission of God toward him. Very, very crucial for us to see this morning. There's no going back for him. There's no backup plan. God is his plan. His plan A, his only plan. And that is the confidence you and I must begin to have within our walk with God. Amen. This is the grace that God extends to us, the love that He showers over us. And we cannot lose sight of this ever as we continue to walk. And so for us as God's people, for we cut ties with Egypt, for we cut ties with the world, for we cut ties with the things that we think sustain us, and begin to be drawn to the sustainer of life itself, which is God, our God, the only God, Yahweh. Amen. As you go this week, may He bless you, may He strengthen you, may you be encouraged, may you understand that you are His people, and He's zealous, jealous about you, and He will do everything He can to ensure that you are protected, that you are victorious. All He's asking of you this morning is that you would but trust, and even trust blindly, knowing that He can. Let's stand and sing.